Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Heat Beat. With Giancarlo Navas and Ryan Goins.
Welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas. And with me today, we have our co-founder, Mr. Brian Goins.
Hello.
We have Hot Take Harry, Hairs and Citron.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
We have Mr. Will Manso of, I don't know what, Channel 10, Sun Sports.
Yeah, you could say Local 10, Sun Sports. Either one works fine.
Will Manso from either one works fine.
Exactly.
Joining us
on Sports Guy.
Depending
on the day. Yeah.
Media member, all-star extraordinaire, Mr. Will Manso. Here on All-Star Break. I guess we're going to get right into it. They won last night at Houston. Will, you tweeted out a stat today that the Heat have, 10 straight games of over 100 points?
14 straight. They 14 just tied
straight
the franchise
games.
Record. Get your facts
14 straight of 100 or more points. It's crazy. I mean, for this team that, I mean, come on, guys. At the beginning of the year, we could all admit their offense, at least, was almost unwatchable. No ball movement. The ball was sticking, and they cracked maybe 95 points if lucky. And now 14 straight with 100 is pretty unbelievable.
They're 17th in pace since the streak began, the 17th. So they're not even playing that fast. So they're scoring those points off. Their 3-point shooting has been what's been doing this.
Yeah. Well, the thing too is working with John in the Heat studios, Crotty, who's a former player and obviously knows the league. He always tells me that the pace has always been okay, but it's the ball movement that really matters. What are you doing? Is the ball sticking? Is there a guy at the top of the key just dribbling, and then you shoot a shot with 2 seconds of the shot clock in a hurry? John always tells me, look at the way the ball moves. Guys are getting open looks. And if you look at the threes that they're making that you were just pointing out, most of them aren't really contested threes. They're really open, good threes, and that a lot of that comes from moving the ball around.
And you know what, Will? They were getting those shots before they were winning. It was just Winslow and Richardson shooting them. And when Wayne Ellington got healthy and Deion, I mean, Deion was always kind of banged up, but once those guys, because Goran was shooting well from the jump.
Yeah.
And once they got actual shooters getting the ball, everything changed.
Yeah. And James Johnson, too. I mean, he's a guy who's already set a career high. He's had a career high in threes this year for about a month now, and he's just adding on to it. They've all gotten Tyler, obviously, getting more comfortable and trying to shoot the three. But you mentioned Goran. Goran's been the one guy that from the beginning has been solid. But I think Deion's consistency on threes in the last 20 games or so, you mentioned Wayne as well. There just seems to be a real rhythm with their offense now and finding the open guy. And it's not like before where a guy takes a three and you're like cringing, like, oh, man, another three goes up. They took last night or in the game against Houston, they took – more threes than the Rockets, or as many threes as the Rockets, 35 threes to 40. They were shooting threes at their pace, yet making more threes, which is, again, it's unheard of for this team, especially the way they started the season.
Since the streak started, they're shooting 40% from three, which is about what, I mean, the Warriors and the Cavs are 0.1 more than them. They're tied with Cleveland. Yeah, so.
During the winning streak, they actually were the best in that 13-game stretch. No team
kind of tailed off at the end.
Warriors. Yeah, they kind of fell off at the end. Obviously against Philly and Orlando, they struggled a bit. I think just a little fatigue hit them. But we saw, against Houston in that game, final game before the All-Star break, they can still shoot it. And they're still, when they move the ball, they got guys that can make shots.
Harrison, you've been so quiet.
I'm just listening, man.
I'm glad to meet Hot Take Harry. I didn't know you were Hot Take Harry. That's
good. Oh, yeah, sorry. That's me. I'm, my name speaks for myself. But
You're not hot taking.
Guest booking is extraordinary.
It's gotta come naturally.
Inflammatory.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, the hot take for everybody is, and I get this all the time, and John and I talk about it when we're watching the games, is this going to stop? When is it going to stop? I mean, there's, 26, 27 games left. Is this the Heat team now, or is this some sort of, are we going to see a regression in these final 25, 26 games? And that's, I think, a fair question, but I think we probably all agree that this is sort of the Heat team now. I mean, if they pass the ball around, they do have guys who can make shots.
It's also what's been so interesting about the streak is how you're supposed to feel about it, because winning is great, But they're doing it without Richardson and Winslow, who are the guys that you thought would really develop this year. So you're basically like you're doing it on Spo's system with a lot of guys who probably won't be here next year, and you're just kind of hoping that you can like take this continuity, whether it is a playoff run or not, and hope that Richardson and Winslow, well, Richardson will hopefully come back this year, and Winslow can come back healthy next year and contribute.
Well, Ellington is doing what you thought Josh Richardson would provide, and James Johnson is doing what you thought Winslow would provide.
It's true, and it's hard to say because early in the year, like when we were previewing the season, I said best case scenario this is maybe a 40-42 win team if everything falls in place. Most likely it could be a 30-32 win team, but all that mattered, as long as those two guys you just mentioned develop, everything's okay. Yet they haven't developed. It's obviously Winslow didn't develop this year because of the injury, didn't have that chance, and Josh just has a regression as well. He wasn't shooting well when he got hurt, and now he's been hurt. Yet they're still two games out of a playoff spot, and like you guys said, other guys have done a good job. But let's face it, too, the guys we've mentioned, a lot of them may not be the core of this team for the future. And I think you got to enjoy now the present, you know, the way they're playing. But big picture, you still need Josh and Justice in the equation, unless somehow they fall into some scenario in the trade deadline.
I want to ask you guys something, and it's something I've been thinking about for a while, and I've tweeted about it a little bit. What James Johnson has done this season, he's one of the best defenders in the league. I think he's still leading the league and holding opponents to under their shooting percentages. He's defending pretty much 1 through 5. He's ball handling. He's doing everything that you thought Winslow could be. And it begs the question, if Winslow became James Johnson, do you take that if you're Miami?
This James Johnson, yes.
This James Johnson, because I've heard a lot of people say no.
No, this James Johnson. Yes. And guys, I mean, last year we saw James Johnson. I've seen James Johnson plenty. You guys have too. And when he was in Toronto, I mean, he was a guy that would play 15 minutes a game, and he never stood out to me. He stood out more as an enforcer type, you know, tough guy, because he obviously doesn't take any crap. But never this player. Like, okay, the guy you just mentioned, right? If you don't say his name, you could say, well, that's LeBron James. Now, I'm not comparing James Johnson to LeBron James, but even Gorin and other people have said his skill set this season is similar to what LeBron does every season. Guard 1 through 5, shoot the 3, attack, defend, tenacious. That's LeBron. Now, James Johnson is not LeBron, but the fact that he's even playing anything like that, doing all those things, is pretty sensational.
I kind of think of him as Draymond Light.
Yeah. Or LeBron Light. I mean, super light, but...
LeBron,
I mean,
Light, because Draymond's LeBron Light, and James Johnson's LeBron Light.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically like... James Johnson's basically played the 4 for Miami, but he's doing it in a point-forward role. He loves bringing up the ball. He loves passing the ball. He's shooting the 3s at a much higher clip than he's ever shot. Even, you know, shooting 35% for James Johnson is really, really good. And yeah, man, because I think most people, when Winslow came to the league, the comparisons were like, all right, if you end up with like, I mean, sometimes they were a little higher. People were saying, oh, maybe Kawhi he could Leonard. Be like, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George type.
Kawhi was probably exaggerated, yeah.
But honestly, if he ends up being like a Ron Artest type, that'd be perfectly fine, especially a guy that can guard all the positions. And that's what you're getting out of James Johnson this year. So if Winslow becomes James Johnson this year, a point forward that can run the offense, rebound the ball, guard every position, and, you know, shoot the 3. What else are you really looking for?
If both of your answers are yes to that question, what does that make the value of James Johnson, who's 29?
Well, I think James Johnson's value is significant. The two guys that just the value increased so much this year are Deion and James. And I don't know if there's a scenario. There is a scenario you could keep them both. But you're literally telling yourself that that's what we're going and moving forward. We believe this core, the way it is now, and then with the draft pick, can take a next step and contend. And I'm not sure if they can. That's the real question Pat Riley's probably asking himself. How close is this team realistically from that? If Deion Waiters is now a star-type player, then sure. But is the 20-25 game sample we've got of Deion really the answer? And that's for Pat Riley and Andy Ellisberg in the front office to decide.
I think the situation with both of them is, and it helps that they're making a playoff push and they have Gorin and Hassan. It's easier to tell a free agent when you have ready players, right? So we know that they're going to have cap because the Bosch money, we anticipate it's going to come off the books, and they're going to have a little more salary. So they're going to be able to sign another guy and maybe keep a few of the ones that they have. That's more enticing when you're telling Gordon Hayward, instead of coming to a lottery team with expectations, to come to a team that has guys like James Johnson, like Hassan Gorin ready. And in regards to him, like, if this is what he's going to be, and I don't think – this is probably a career year for him, and he'll probably take a bit of a dive. But if you're going to get something similar to this, I think you have to value that for the next 3 years at something pricey. He's been so good. You can't find that anywhere.
No, he's going to get money. He's going to get it, whether he or else was going to get it. Because you mentioned he's 29, 30 years. He's still at a point where you can get a few good years out of him. And he, one thing he's done, too, and all the people with the Heat tell me the same thing, is he came in phenomenal shape. And he's in the best shape of his career. And he came in really focused on being this type of player because he knew he would get the opportunity.
Did you see the quotes from today?
Which ones?
About All-Star break. How he's not going to go on vacation. He's just going to stay and work out.
That's what he does. Dude's a freak of nature. Like, it's funny, he's such an imposing guy, and I never thought of James Johnson being a guy who was out of shape, but then again, we're talking about elite athletes, not guys like us. I mean, these are like elite athletes, you know. We could say we're in shape, but compared to those guys, you know, it's different. But he, to me, he's a phenomenal guy. He's a great teammate too, guys. Like, he's really likable. Like, I know he gets that tough guy persona, but he's actually a sweet dude, really funny guy. And I know the Heat value, but again, at some point, this is almost, don't you guys agree that this is almost like a surprise that wasn't expected? Like, it wasn't at all. Not just James, but Dion. I think at best case, you said if one of these guys could take another step, but both of these guys have taken like three steps, you know? Dion went from a sixth man type role when he got here, as that was the thought process, to one of your top players who can, you know, win a game against the best team in the league if needed. And James went from a six-man role guy to a key contributor in fourth quarters. And you mentioned earlier, the crazy thing is, how about when he runs the point? He's coming down court in a close game with the basketball in his hands, even though Goran Dragic is on the court already. It's pretty
amazing. They're running that 4-5 pick and roll like the Lakers used to. Like, LeBron running, it's different because that's, like, unguardable. But they're running it like how Odom and Gasol used to do it, or Odom and Bynum.
It's amazing, and that's been the difference in the offensive resurgence. We just talked about earlier, the 14 straight games with 100 points. They're moving the ball. They're cutting to the basket. They're finding easy baskets, too, because if you're going to score 110, 112 points a game, it can't come on contested shots.
It's corner threes and shots at the rim.
Exactly. That's kind of the way – it's funny. They played the Rockets game last night. That's the way the Rockets play. The Rockets only shoot layups and three-pointers, and they essentially did that yesterday. Either attack the basket or shoot an open three. And they got it down. I'm telling you what, they're playing well. This break almost comes at the bad time. 9 days is off is the last thing this team needs with the way they're playing.
Yeah. Note on James Johnson. This is his career high in minutes at 26. Zero games started. It's the only year that you can say that for him. And he's only played over 20 minutes three times. So you might be able to get some miles off of his body because it has not been as taxing on him.
That's a good point, yeah.
It's a young 29.
Yeah, JJ is the guy that I wouldn't mind paying if it's a short amount of years. Like if it's a 2 to 3 year deal and you just wanted to pay him for that. Dion scares me. I still don't trust him. I know he's really become a pretty like decently efficient scorer over the last 20 games or so since he returned from his injury, but I don't know, man. I'm just waiting for him to go back to his ways, and I'm afraid for the Heat to pay him. I was kind of hoping they'd move him before the deadline, but they're not going to now with the way that
I don't think they will.
The team's played around him.
Yeah, and then here's the thing with Dion too, and it doesn't. What you just said on one sense makes sense because a lot of people are saying that you're not. You know, obviously a lot of people feel the same way you do, but in another sense, if you really break it down, it doesn't make any sense with the thought that Dion's 25, just turned 25, was a former fourth overall pick. You knew the talent was always there, and sometimes guys take a while to click. The problem is Dion has the reputation for being, as I suppose, as irrational confidence. He just goes nuts. He thinks he's Kevin Durant. You know, he just starts going crazy with shots and attacking. But now that you're seeing him produce, you're kind of thinking maybe he's turned the corner. Is it crazy to think a 25-year-old guy has turned the corner now on an aspiring career, what you thought was an aspiring career, former college star, more so than a James Johnson, who's kind of a career journeyman, who's now at around 30 developing his game? Which one makes more sense in happening? Probably Dion does.
I mean, I have a lot of faith in the Heat organization more than a lot of other teams in the league, but it's not like he wasn't in good situations, like playing in Cleveland with LeBron And then playing in Oklahoma State, where they really weren't asking that much of him on a team with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. What happened?
I thought he went to Syracuse.
Yeah, you said Oklahoma City.
I'm making fun of you. You said Oklahoma State.
Oh, he said Oklahoma State. Yeah, no, but he meant Oklahoma City. Yeah.
No, it's true.
I get it.
Yeah. So I'm just it's not like a guy who I don't know like a James Johnson who obviously was out of shape and Toronto didn't see anything, so he was on their bench a lot. You know, there were games he didn't play. So he's just more of a getting an opportunity to show himself. He's in the best shape of his life. Whereas Deion's played, he's just like
Continue.
Spo knows what to say and what to do with these guys and how to work with them. That's really he's grown up in the Heat organization. Spo was the training coach for a long time. He was the strength and conditioning coach for the Heat. So he knows how to work individually with these players. It's just
the thing about Spo is remember Spo started in the film room, right? And this is something that gets lost a lot with Spo is that Spo was a big reason why Dwayne developed a jump shot. When Dwayne got into the league, Dwayne's jump shot was definitely not a strength in his game. And I would watch them pregame. There's a guy, Eric Glass, who's a coach for the Heat, one of the assistants for the Heat that helps out with guys shooting early. He's a guy that they think of highly. That was like Eric Spoelstra, 10, 15 years ago. You'd see him on the court working these guys. Spo has a way to find the little things in your game that make you better. And he does it individually for every player. And he did it with Dwayne, somebody who's a Hall of Famer. And I think with Deion, they have found something in keeping that irrational confidence, but understanding it's a team game. And Deion has bought into it. Because, again, guys, I think the talent for Deion has always been there. There's no way a guy's the fourth overall pick, had the success he had in Syracuse, and had those little glimpses of stardom that he shows. He's just putting it together. I'm not saying give Deion a huge contract, but I will say this. If Evan Turner can get $70 million, what is Deion Waiters getting?
But Evan Turner's the guy I'm scared of. Like, you don't want to give him a big deal and then he turns out to be Evan Turner, because anyone who really watched Evan Turner last year knew.
It's a huge setback, yeah. It would be a huge setback to your friend. If the Heat were to sign Deion Waiters long-term to a big deal and he reverts to the old Deion Waiters or nothing like what he is now, it's a huge setback for your organization. But I will say this. The Heat value him. They really believe he's turned the corner. Whether they re-sign him or not, that's all financial. But I think they really believe he could be a 20-point, 4 or 5 assist, 4 or 5 rebound guy, which in this day's NBA is worth, what, $25 million?
Yeah, pretty much.
Seriously.
I will say this about Deion. Before 2017, he was 40% at the rim, which I think we can all agree was his weakest element of his game, which was finishing. Yeah. Post 2017, he's been 52%, and during the streak, he has been since January 17th, he's 55%. So
he's
that number's
100%, 100% at screaming and one at the rim too.
Yeah.
So one,
correct.
And one.
Are you on the floor when you hear that? Or are you in the studio?
Well, road games, I'm always in the studio.
Road games, your studio.
And home games, you always hear. You could hear from the upper deck him screaming at one.
Great.
Jax was joking with me on Wednesday night because he knows I love it when Deion does that. And he said, Jax said that in Houston, from 15 rows back wherever he was, he heard the N1 clearly.
But he screams it for other guys too. Like when Hassan goes up, he'll do it for him.
Yeah, well, James Johnson did. I love it because it's rubbing off. James Johnson had an N1 the other day, and he screamed N1. I said, oh, man, Deion's really rubbing off on this team. He's got everybody screaming.
Yeah, I thought the whole Heat bench screamed N1 last night at one point during the Rockets game.
Well, they all joke, but they trust me, there's a joke there with Deion that, he does scream it often. I think everybody knows it.
Carlos Boozer had it the best, though. Carlos Boozer was the king.
He was a good and wonder. I forget.
He used to and one MF-er. That was his move.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there you go.
Loud and clear.
Deion keeps it clear. Clean, I should say.
The only thing I remember about Carlos Boozer is when he put shoe polish on his head. I don't know anything else about
that picture will live in infamy for him forever.
I don't know what happened there. Like if he lost a terrible bet or what, but
it was a Lego hair.
It was shoe polish.
Yes, somebody had recommended to him this thing, and he decided to try it. Of course, he tries it on national TV, and essentially it was shoe polish. So, working at TV, I've seen all the tricks of the trade to fill in your hair, like little things that you put in for your openings and stuff. Trust me, I've seen it all. Yeah. But you can't be completely bald to use it as a thing. You have to have hair.
He should have used whatever LeBron used in Trainwreck. That was some good work. Come on, man.
You had to get your jab in there. Speaking of LeBron and James Johnson, you know, the Eric Spoelstra brand of power forward, how it's evolved. And I honestly, like, from LeBron to Shane to Luol Deng to now James Johnson. And I think the most important move of his coaching career, which kind of defined his offense and defense, was inserting Shane Battier into the starting lineup in that Indiana series when Bosch was down. Because that, not only did he stay there, and I think that year he had only played 1% of his minutes at power forward. 1%. And then the rest is history. That was their go-to.
Man, Shane at power forward. The thing with Spo, too, is that, and something like that points out to this, and I always joke that Spo is like a mad scientist. You ever see those pictures of mad scientists, like in the room with chemistry little things and putting in liquid here and putting liquid there? Spo is that way as a coach. He literally just throws stuff in a pot and sees what sticks and then learns what works, and he doesn't make the same mistake twice. He may make mistakes at times with rotations or things, but it isn't the same. He learns from those mistakes and what combinations work. And he finds things that maybe people like us or even people in the league didn't expect would happen. And things like that, again, he makes guys evolve in a certain way and he finds their strength. And then he doesn't let them out of that. He keeps them in that area to understand how good they could be if they stay there. And guys play off that and improve off that and then see the kind of players they could be.
Shane was at his best here in Miami when he was playing power forward.
So strong, yeah. And again, something that wasn't expected, a role that really wasn't thought of with him given his size, and yet
completely changed the dynamic of that entire that changed basketball history, because that I don't think that they win without doing that with the power forward position, because they're able to play that defense that they're now famous for, and they're able to glide around the court.
They all ended second NBA finals without him.
Huh?
The Islanders' second NBA finals without him, game 7.
It's so true. Without how many threes did he hit in that game? 7, 8? Yeah. I already forgot how many.
Yeah, I think
did you see in the Heat press release, that's the picture that they used today for the Shane Battier news.
Yeah, well, that game was phenomenal. That game, for that alone, he'll stay in this organization forever. By the way, that decision to keep Shane was definitely in the works for a while. Shane has been a guy that they value. I think Shane has GM potential in his knowledge. Not saying GM of the Heat, but I think he could be an NBA general manager one day. He is so bright, knows the game so well, really relates to players well. But on top of everything, he's just super intelligent. He's always loved analytics, respected, and numbers and stats. Yeah, respected. He just is a perfect fit. It was a great hire by the organization to have him there. And I don't know anybody who's more analytical than Shane, so working on analytics and stuff is right in his wheelhouse.
And for those who don't know, the Heat announced that they hired Shane Battier to Director of Basketball Development and Analytics. So his duties will include the development of analytics and evaluating all talent, including college free agent and current Miami Heat players. I totally said that off the top of my head. Was not reading. Memorizing.
we could tell you're amazing.
It's so good. That's why I'm the host of the Heat Beat podcast, or as Jason Leisure calls it, the Meet the Heat podcast.
Is that what Jason calls it?
Jason calls us a lot of things that are not our name.
Yeah. Whatever works. Whatever Jason says is true.
Honestly, it's Jason's world and we're all living in it.
Lovely, sir. Yeah, I miss him. I miss him around the Heat.
Is that hard, like, when guys get off the beat and then you don't see him for a while? That must be sad.
See, the thing with me is because my day job is at Channel 10, we cover all sports, so I run into those guys everywhere. Like, a Dolphin camp, like, let's face it, they only send me when the Dolphins are winning or when somebody's getting fired. So, so those are the only times I'm at Dolphins camp. So it's almost like an inside joke. When somebody sees me at Dolphin camp, they're thinking, wow, something must be going on. What the hell are you doing here?
What does it take for them to send you to Sunrise?
Oh, my God. Well, I try to say...
What was the last time I've been in Sunrise?
Sometimes I say, like, hey, let's go live at a Panthers game. They're like, no, we're not giving up a photographer to go all the way to Sunrise for a Panthers game. It takes literally the playoffs or opening night. I went through a stretch of like 5 years where I didn't go to a Panthers game from a work capacity for like 5 years. Because remember that stretch, they didn't make the playoffs in forever. So, yeah, it was a tough grind. I'm glad they made it last year, so hopefully they make a push. But Leisure is missed in the Heat beat. He was a fun guy to be around.
Anthony Chang is his young little replacement. Although Anthony's great. He's a good guy. Friend of the show, Anthony Chang.
That's good. He's a good guy, and he's a good rider, and he's liked in the locker room. He's a very, very good rider.
Yeah. And I'm sorry.
No, go.
No, say what you were going to say.
No, I was going to say that Anthony does a mailbag and we steal his questions because we're too lazy. So we basically just, and he knows the drill at this point. So we go to Anthony Chang's Twitter account and we use his mailbag questions for our segment.
Do you still ask Ira and just say like ask Harry?
No, just Chang. No, we tell the audience, we're like, we're stealing Anthony's, because we forgot to tweet out. So we'll just steal his, yeah.
Yeah, we give credit for our theft. That's good.
Among thieves.
Yeah, we attribute.
Perfect. Harrison, what were you going to say?
I was going to ask, because Chang mentioned when the news of Battier broke earlier, he had went to a quote earlier from Riley that said that he was maybe looking for one more person to join the organization before he felt comfortable about stepping away. And people were starting to think, like, oh, is Battier that guy? Is Riley, like, starting to think about stepping out? And I was wondering what you guys thought about that.
Well, I do know this. They think highly of obviously, Shane's going to be a part of that next step. I also think two things. Number one is Nick Arison. Nick is obviously one of the bosses of the Heat right now, an executive. He is highly regarded by Pat Riley. If not a replacement, certainly the kind of guy that can handle personnel, that can handle those kind of decisions. And number two is, guys, Andy. There's another guy here that Andy, obviously Andy's not going anywhere. Even if, Andy loves his job. He's great at what he does. But there's another person here that we haven't mentioned that's the obvious one, is Eric Spoelstra. I think Eric has a future in the front office of this organization the day he either A, wants to leave the court, or even, you know, as a coach, he's going to have say in things like that because Riley trusts him so much. There's no one in this organization. I mean, he trusts Andy, he trusts everybody. But he has a faith in Spo because he raised Spo from that video room to this head coaching job, seeing him as like a mini him. You see what I mean? Seeing Spo as a mini him. And he still considers it. He calls it like a son to him, the way he's raised him. So I wouldn't doubt that that's another part of the power structure. I mean, there's a lot of good, intelligent people to stay with the Heat the day that Riley decides it is time to go.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting? Yeah. Go, Kerrison, go.
Yeah, I think basically Riley wants to feel comfortable where when he decides to retire, everyone can just basically like step up to the next level. Like the same way Spo preaches like next man up, that's kind of what they want from the Heat organization. So if Riley steps away as president, everyone just kind of moves up the ladder one and they feel completely comfortable in that transition. And that's where it's headed. So yeah, I think Spo's going to end up being like similar to the way it is in Atlanta or Detroit where they're GM and coach. I think that's probably what
Budenholzer's the GM?
Yeah, they made Budenholzer the GM.
Oh,
yeah.
Congratulations, Budenholzer.
And then the Clippers too of Doc Rivers.
Yeah, but he's Doc Rivers.
Yeah, but Doc's
is really
bad at his job.
So. Yeah, Doc, terrible. And he's not even a good coach.
Is there a worse coach who gets more praise?
Wait, did you see Glenn Davis ripped Doc Rivers today? Ripped.
I read. Why? I didn't read the details, but I read the headline.
What happened?
He just, I mean, he was basically saying that, like, he just got lucky with the players that he got, and it wasn't very flattering. I don't know why he's mad at him now. He seemed to play with him for a lot of years and to join him on different teams. Didn't he play with him in Orlando, Boston, and the Clippers?
No.
Yeah. Kind of followed around? Is that what it is?
I think he
I don't think he played. I don't think he played for the Clippers, and I don't think he played for Orlando when he was – I mean, Doc was in Orlando a long time ago.
Glenn Davis definitely joined them in the Clippers within the last few years.
Right. He did. He did.
Yeah.
Here's a quote if you want to see what he said. Basically, he said what Doc did in 2008 was special. He also said that he was lucky as hell the year before they were wearing trash bags in the crowd. But then the next year they win it, and now he's one of the best coaches ever. I mean, I'm just not feeling it. You know what I mean? You give credit to Kevin Garnett. You give credit to Paul Pierce and Ray Allen. Those are the guys that made whatever Doc needed to be done, got done. And so now it's easy for Doc to do his job. So that's what he said.
Well, I mean, the reality is this, too. Coaching sucks in a way. Like, these coaches all know it, that it's part of the job. It's always the players, right? It's never the coach. Only in a situation like this right now with the Eric's going through, that Spo's going through, do you say, wow, Eric Spoelstra is a good coach. Yet when he's winning championships with the Big Three, no one's really saying that because they're saying, well, he's got the Big Three. So it's very tough for a coach because you almost have to be on a team that doesn't have that much talent or doesn't have that much expectations to then prove yourself, as opposed to like Doc goes over there. I mean, he's got Blake Griffin, the CP3, DeAndre Jordan, you know, a nice bench, JJ Redick. I mean, it's pretty easy to coach with those kind of players. It's hard to screw that up. But it's moments that when you don't have those players where you really show what kind of coach you are.
I think he's a good coach. I just think, especially in LA, Doc the GM handcuffs Doc the coach. Harrison, I know we make fun of him. I don't think he's a great coach, but he's not a bad coach.
No, I just I just think he's overrated, and I think Will, you kind of alluding to, is exactly how it is. Like, coaches get way too much praise when things go well and way too much blame when things go wrong. I mean, it's usually somewhere in the middle. Spo wasn't a bad coach because the Heat are 11-30. You know, the guys aren't executing the game plan that he set out. And now that they've done it over the last 16 games, they look like a much better team, and people are calling them, you know, Spoach of the Year. So it'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see what happens for the rest of the season.
Well, I know you got to go, but who are the front runners for Coach of the Year? Is it Spo, Fizz? I don't know who else.
D'Antoni. Fizz. I think the front runner, I think, is D'Antoni, because they have made a jump. They've made such a significant jump to being what, third best record in the NBA.
Yeah, but they were good 2 years ago. Like, just because they had
a rough year last year, obviously. But I think a lot of times you look at a team, you always seem to go to the teams that are the best teams, and right now they are. But I think what Fizz has done in Memphis is phenomenal. I mean, what he's been able to do as a first year head coach is deserves credit. But I think Spo, and I'm going to be biased. I mean, to me, Coach of the Year isn't about leading your team to the best record. It's, you know, what do you have? What have you done? And for a coach to start with this team that, with the low expectations it was already, to be 11-30 and then be in the playoff chase, the last 20 plus games are going to be a lot to do with, you know, how we kind of view this season. But if the Heat play anywhere close to how they've been playing, they're going to be in the playoff race down to the final week of the season. And to me, Spo deserves a lot of credit for that. I just don't see how he isn't one of the top three coaches in the league with the job he's done this season. And, you know, we saw the quote a couple of weeks ago from Van Gundy saying that he's the best coach in the league. I think you could argue that, because I think there's a lot of good coaches, obviously Greg Popovich. But I have always said I think Spo is one of the top four or five coaches in the league, and this season certainly hasn't proven otherwise.
Yeah, it's been great. Hey, Will, thank you so much for spending time with us. We really appreciate it, and you're great to our show. Thank you so much.
Hey, Tuggis, I enjoyed it. Thanks.
Hey, take care, man. Have a good weekend. Enjoy All-Star break. Enjoy your break.
Well, I am. Nice little break. Two days off in a row is
special.
Hey. You have
enjoy it, man.
I'm going to enjoy it. All right, guys. Take it easy.
Take care,
thank
sir.
You, Will.
That was Will Mansell from Channel 7 and other venues like Heat. Brian, are we getting Alpha on or what?
Yeah, he's logging on.
Wait, Channel 10. Channel 10, man.
Yeah, Channel 10. They're
Is he also on Channel 7?
No. Channel 7? No. That's
Shapiro. Well,
you said Channel 7, so that's why I'm giving
him. I said Channel 7?
Yes.
No, I know he's Channel 10, because I make fun of Channel 7.
And, well, we all do, but I'm just... All right, Will Manso from Channel 10. We love Will. We don't
I
like
I just
Bob.
Did that? Oh, my God. I feel so bad. I'm sorry, Will, if you listen back.
Hashtag
probably team won't. Out. Probably won't. Hashtag not my news channel.
Yeah.
Did you see Trump today? Like, what was the quote about the leaks?
I don't even know.
He said the leaks are real, the news is fake.
I mean, I don't want to talk about it, but I just thought that made me laugh, man.
That was, listen, I mean, if you can watch that press conference and not think that person is completely unhinged, that's on you, bro. Like,
sorry, Humberto.
That was insane. I mean, there was just the things he said, he said he wasn't racist, and then he wanted the black woman to get together with the black caucus and
what?
Oh, this has really fired you up, Harry. You're more animated.
Oh, that stuff bothers me.
Is it time for hot take, Harry?
What kind of poster is that in the background? You have a championship banner poster?
Right behind me is the picture of Ray Allen hitting the three in game six. And then
is that the one where you're are you in that picture?
Yes, I framed it and put it on the wall. And then the one behind it is Heat's three championships. It's like a nice little...
That's what I have in my room. This is Sound Euphonium. See? It's Kimiko, Reyna.
So lame.
Okay, that's...
It's signed by the character...
I'm not going to say it.
The character artist. You see that?
Okay.
I got it in Osaka.
I'm very happy for you.
Thank you very much.
I have two Brian, autographs. Where's Al?
I don't want to see what you have.
I have two autographs. Yeah. I might give away on the future Heapy podcast.
Winslow, and who's the other one?
And Dion Waiters.
Give it to Krabs.
Not bad enough. Oh God, yeah, send it to Krab.
Yeah, he loves that. He loves him.
Also have Michael Beasley too.
Oh, perfect.
Cool.
I don't think Al Sonia.
You know what I wanted to address, guys? The trade rumors. I want to talk about this because the Ibaka rumor was never going to happen with the Heat, and it just. I'm sure we offered like McBob, Ellington, and some peanuts. Like, I don't
salty or no salty?
I don't think we were
honey,
that
honey
interested.
Roasted, Brian. Come
honey
on,
roasted.
Yeah, something good. Maybe some wasabi peanuts, but
no, honey roasted, man.
But I just think people know they can use the Heat because we don't leak. You know, we're not the Trump administration. The Heat don't leak. So
tweet when that.
You know, when they're dropping names and saying the Heat are connected, it's usually just them trying to up the value of their players. So when they use Rudy Gay of the Kings earlier in the season, trying to up his value, saying we're going to trade him for Goran, that was never happening. And now these Ibaka rumors. I mean, Ibaka's a fine player, but he's going to want $20+ million next season. He's supposedly 27, but listen, these guys that come over from Africa, the Congo, tend to lie about their age. Wow. So there's nothing wrong with it, but I'm just saying
they're liars.
I'm saying that it tends to happen where they find out later in life that they're much older than they are.
What's your proof?
It's happened before.
Are you just hating black people again?
Oh man, thank God you didn't do this when Will was on. But no.
Oh man, I should have done it when Will was on. He would have been like, "Wait, what?" I was like, "Yeah, Will, you don't know Harrison. You know he's part of the Klan."
Yeah, that would have been very uncomfortable, and
that would have been so funny.
No, it wouldn't, because then he would have been weird about coming on again, and then no one knows if you're telling the truth or not. So,
I mean, we are telling the truth.
We're not telling the truth at all. I don't even understand. Like,
man, when Will was on, we were such a basketball show. We broke things down. We gave
it was. Yeah, but that's what you gotta go with what the guest wants. That's what he wanted to talk about basketball and talk about it quickly and
so sportsy. That was good stuff though. I mean, I think that that's as good as of Heat talk as you'll get in South Florida.
That's fine. I mean, sometimes it's not necessarily our show all the time, but it's nice to like, yo, we can talk basketball. We're a basketball pod. Plus, our team's doing well, so we can talk about basketball because we've won 14 out of 16. So, you know, we can kind of figure out, you know, and we throw in some stuff in between. But Alf.
Oh, God.
Hey.
See, now we got the funny stuff going on. This is the second half of the show. We wore different hats.
I'm wearing a Heat Beat shirt.
Ooh.
Nice. Yeah, I see.
Will was very sportsy.
Oh, was he?
He was good.
I maintain that you're not going to get better Heat talk anywhere on South Florida radio.
He's a polished professional, unlike us.
Harry and I were talking over each other, and it was just a...
Yeah, I had a terrible show.
We made an and one joke.
And one joke? Or like the old shorts?
Of course, a Dion and one joke. I mean,
I don't know.
The hell do you think we are, man?
No, the and one basketball league
shorts.
Huh? What's going on? What are we doing?
Harry denies that he's a racist. He's glad that we didn't bring it up during Will was on, and it's just because I forgot.
I would have brought it up. See? I should have got here sooner. I really should.
We can't do that with actual people who
yes,
like...
Yes, we can.
Yeah, come we on. Can.
That's what makes it funny.
No, you want to
do it? Didn't we do it with Amber?
Yeah.
I wasn't on that show. I mean, maybe you talked about me, but I wasn't on that did. Podcast.
Harrison, that's a better... Yeah.
You guys have a crush on me. You talk about me a lot even when I'm not here. You dedicated an entire podcast to my shirt.
That was a great shirt. And by great, I mean awful.
It was great.
I was gonna say it was a good podcast. It was a good podcast.
It was great show fodder. It wasn't a great shirt. It was a terrible shirt.
No, the shirt has
like
deposit since.
I'd like to do another show about that shirt. That was just
you still have the shirt? Did you ever donate it to Goodwill?
And I'm gonna donate it. I just haven't like gotten
next
together.
Time we hang out, can you please wear it?
No.
If you want me to, I will. I don't really
please!
We should give that shirt away as a giveaway. and have Harrison sign it.
A game worn Harrison shirt.
I would do that.
We can have Squanch draft up a letter of authenticity. He's a lawyer.
That'd be
amazing. I don't know. Would people really want my shirt? I guess it's a joke, right?
We have to have like a photo that goes with it, with the picture of you, Tyler Johnson, and Justice.
We'll just rig the election and we'll give it to somebody who'll appreciate it.
I don't mind. If you guys
know what you do, you give away the shirt and you also print out that picture on glossy paper.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And have Harrison be the only signature on it.
That'd be hilarious.
You got Justice and TJ, and the only autograph you have is Harrison Citron.
Do you remember the beginning of the season when Chang was? I think it was something going around Twitter that people wanted Chang to get the picture of Tyler Johnson dunking on me signed. Do you remember that? That was funny.
I do not.
Did I just kill
him? And the show comes to a screeching halt.
Do you want to talk about James Johnson?
No, we already did. Let's talk about, are we doing anything this trade deadline? Because I want to make some moves, and I feel like we're not going to do anything.
I think they're not going to do anything.
Did you see what Danny Ainge said today?
To shut the bleep up?
No.
They're looking for Hassan Whiteside, basically.
They're looking for rim protection. Like,
he's a hoarder, man. He's a hoarder.
So they're looking for rim protection, and they wouldn't trade Terry Rozier for Ibaka. Why?
This is Danny Ainge, man. Danny Ainge, he lets the trade deadline go by, and then he's like, man, we had some good offers, but they weren't good enough.
Leaking that information to make him look bad. I'm convinced.
No, that was a quote from Danny. Oh, the Terry Rozier? I mean, I don't know.
Dude, there's no way that you could be that stupid. This is no way.
But he is. He's a hoarder with like he's assets Twitter come to life. Like
Coachy come to life.
If Coachy and Dutch ran a team, they'd be a cross between the Sixers and the Celtics. They wouldn't be the Celtics because their team would be awful. But they would have all these draft picks that at the end. And then here's the thing: they finally have draft picks that people want because in the past they've had these draft picks during terrible drafts and nobody wanted them. Now they have draft picks that people want and they won't budge, you know? And Terry Rozier is the make or break part of a trade. Like, I don't even know. I went to a Boston Celtics Heat game and I don't think Terry Rozier played.
Is he white? Maybe that explains it.
If he did, I didn't remember him. Is he the one that wears the really tight shorts? They have a rookie that wears really tight shorts, uncomfortably tight.
But that was Marcus Smart.
No, he does too. But there's another guy, might be Rozier.
I thought you meant it was Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown, that guy wears some uncomfortably tight shorts.
I was gonna say I thought Terry Rozier was a second year player, but I don't know. It's a weird mentality to have all of these assets, which you acquire assets so you can make a big move. Like that's the point. And no, man, Danny Ainge is just going to keep drafting and cutting guys. That's just going to be the Celtics until he decides to leave.
Here's a tweet from Network. He says, very excited for season 3 of deals Danny Ainge almost did, written and leaked to the media by Danny Ainge.
Yeah, that's
funny. Good tweet.
I mean, he did the Kevin Garnett and the Ray Allen deals, and like he's been eating off of that for like a decade, man. Like he's not... I mean, they put together a nice little team
They rebuilt fine.
But I don't think, like, it's almost like some of the things they've done, it's almost by accident. Like, nobody knew Isaiah Thomas was going to be this good. Like, they did this. I don't feel like what they put together.
I disagree with you. I didn't know he was going to be this good, but I knew he was going to be something of a 20 plus point scorer. I didn't know how good of a shooter he'd be, but if you were paying attention to him in Sacramento, like that guy was putting up numbers, like really, like what he's doing, not what he's doing now, but like 25 a night kind of numbers when they let him start. Yeah.
Ainge made two good trades and then he sat on his hands for, you know,
the ones who botched that was Phoenix because he was so good in Sacramento, Phoenix snatched him. And then they were sitting on Bledsoe, Gorin and Isaiah Thomas. And honestly,
they got left with nothing. Like
the one that they made the right move by letting Isaiah go because I think we all thought Bledsoe would be better than he is. But
what's wrong with Bledsoe? Is he just injury prone?
I mean, he's good.
He's been healthy this year.
He's fine. But the knee injuries don't. I mean, every time you get hurt like that, it saps your ability to be as explosive as you are. Like, look at guys who have all these bad injuries. It's really hard to recover from things like that.
I mean, Bledsoe's 21 a game on almost 50% shooting. Oh, no, not really. 44% shooting.
That's not almost 50.
No, I was reading effective field goal percentage. Yeah, my bad. Almost 50. Effective field goal percentage almost at 50 might be.
So does Hassan survive the trade deadline?
Yes. I don't think they move anybody.
Buyers?
If there was one person, you
would move. No, I don't think. Alf, let's think of it this way. What are they going to buy?
I have no idea.
What are they going to sell? They're selling for what?
This market.
Selling
late first round picks? Like, who what the hell are they going to – what? Honestly, what the hell is a team really going to – a team that would need James Johnson is a contender. What kind of pick is a contender going to give you?
The market's weird right now, man. There's just not – you look – there's a couple moves that make sense. Like, I know Portland – I think Portland has
They just traded for a center. Why would they want Hassan now? Pursue Hassan after they just traded their starting center for another one?
The Orlando thing is done, right?
Everyone's going to call Orlando.
Denver just made a move. So really,
Toronto made a move, and Toronto's looking for a shooter. And I think maybe Dion might fit that role.
What the hell is Toronto going to give them?
Yeah, but
first round pick from the Clippers.
Alf, the point I was making earlier in the show is if you make the playoffs, like, I don't know if these free agents like Gordon Hayward and Blake Griffin want to go to a bad team. If you at least make the playoffs and you have some pieces that are attractive and plus Winslow and Richardson and a mid first round pick, that's attractive to a free agent, not a lottery team that everyone's probably going to leave.
The biggest thing about this streak, and if you notice it throughout NBA Twitter with NBA writers, you talked about Dion, you talked about Goran, Reggie Miller for some reason credited Hassan Whiteside with the
streak. Dumbest thing I read.
Because he's an analyst who obviously just doesn't watch basketball. But the shining star of the streak ended up being Eric Spoelstra. Like, you saw Zach Lowe write about it, HP Basketball, Matt Moore, whatever his name is. A lot of people were coming along to, oh, wow, Spo is a top three coach in this league. He is the star of that streak. And if the Heat go into the summer as a player for a free agent, I think the biggest pitch they're going to make is look at the future of this franchise under Eric Spoelstra. Right? Look at the way this team is going. Analytics, development. They just brought in Shane Batty. Look how we take care of our stars when everything is all said and done. Hint, hint, Dwayne, why did you leave? But that's what I think when you look at it. The organization is a star of the streak. What the front office, what they've put in place, the coaching staff, the development of their players – They came out smelling like roses out of this thing.
I think what helps them also is what a disaster Chicago's been, because you have such a stark contrast of I think the thing that stands out most is Dwayne yelling at everyone in the locker room and not getting support. When if he did that here, it's not only respected, it's law.
Yeah, he had his run of the not he didn't have his run of the organization, but they respected what he's done here.
His voice was one of authority of a player that was respected because of everything that he has done for the franchise. Now he's in Chicago and he's speaking, and that place is such a mess that it's anarchy and nobody respects anybody.
Because he hasn't done anything in Chicago. What has he earned there?
But Chicago's known as an organization for disrespecting their stars, going back to Jordan. So that's what I'm saying. Like the Heat organization is looking really good this year. They look like they made the right move with Dwayne. It's looking like as much as a stink that Bosh was making, that he's not going to play basketball again. Like, so when everybody was like, oh, look, the Heat are looking bad because of the whole Bosh and Wade thing. When all said and done and Bosh never plays another game and Dwayne Wade ends up trying to come back here in his last year to retire as a Miami Heat player, the Heat are going to come out on top of all this.
Alf, how amazing is that they turned that around in less than 6 months?
It's Spo, man. Like,
you remember how the vile around the PR around this was that the Heat are mailing us seeds for trees for us to renew season tickets? Like,
that was bad, dude.
Like, that's what was going on with, like, they were in a PR crisis mode. Their stock had plummeted. Everybody was, nobody trashes the Heat organization. Not the organization. They'll trash LeBron and stuff, but the organization was getting trashed everywhere. And now it vanished.
It's gone.
13 games.
Guys, I'm telling you, it's Spo.
I know, but that's how crazy it is. That's how crazy good he is. That went away.
And I'm telling you, and I like everyone says there's no chance Blake leaves. But if Blake and Harrison, I don't think you were on the podcast when I had this take. If if Blake looks around the Western Conference and sees again that they're third or fourth fiddle to the Warriors, the Spurs, and now the Rockets look better this year. If he just sees himself not being able to get out of that mess, like, does he make a move? Like, I feel like he could.
Yeah, I mean, I know why the new CBA limits, like, it assumes that guys will stay with their former teams. But at the same time, like, yeah, man, how many years are you going to stay on the Clippers? You're with Doc Rivers, who you missed it out for. We trashed him earlier. So did Glenn Davis. And why wouldn't you make a move that could be good for your career? You not only you're going to a franchise that you know you'll that will get the best out of you, but you'll get out of the Western Conference. The only guy you got to deal with in the East is LeBron, as opposed to other. You know, there's a lot of. I don't know. The West is top heavy. And yeah, you know, take a chance. I don't think Griffin's guaranteed to stay at the Clippers, and a lot of it's going to depend on what Chris. A lot of it depends on what Chris Paul does.
I don't think so at all, because I think it matters the way these playoffs play out. I mean, to me they've peaked, right? Bringing in a Carmelo Anthony over there, which I know has been discussed, like, I don't know how much better that makes that team. I think that team has peaked. I think that roster has peaked. Those three guys. DeAndre, Chris Paul, Blake. I think that whole thing is just, I mean, I think it's had its time. It's had its run. And if you look at the way this team is playing, you put Blake Griffin in the Heat's lineup right now, I mean, how much better is this team?
You have to change things. No, hold on.
You have to change some things, of course.
It's not as easy as plug in, because you'd be removing Babbitt and James Johnson, and you need to replace the shooting.
No, you'd be removing Babbitt, which is fine.
Okay.
don't act like we're losing. I know Babbitt provides spacing, but there's a reason Babbitt is always open. Because nobody's afraid of Babbitt.
I think the thing Miami has is they're respected, and as you wrote a long time ago, it's those damn white beaches, that damn ocean breeze, as you wrote last year. Like, they have the advantage of the city and the organization, and the cachet of now a very good head coach, that they'll probably be able to get in the room with most players.
They've always been able to get in the room, and one of the things that came out last year was when they sat down with Kevin Durant, the star of that meeting was Eric Spoelstra. I mean, we keep going back to it, you know, and I think this year more than ever, and I wrote in my preseason thing with Leif, which I was wrong about everything in that, by the way. my old Carl White take was super hot. But one of the things that I did write was that Spo was going to be the star of this season. And it's kind of bearing out that, you know, he's finally getting some of the respect that he's been due for a long time. Wow, I've gotten super sportsy.
We are very sports today.
This has been a very sportsy pod. But it's fine.
It dawned on us. It just like dawned on us at the same time. Like, it was just silence, and I was like, yeah, I'm about to pull up your take article to seriously analyze your takes. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's a turning point of the season. You know, all-star breaks, or got half a season to evaluate the team. I think it's fun.
I did call the streak. I did call this run.
You nailed it, man.
Yo, you... Alf, you nailed the streak. That was like, I'm sure the games we lost weren't the ones that you assumed we would lose, but
yeah. No, but after the Houston game, I said we're gonna win 13 out of 15. And that and the losses I assumed were gonna it was before the Houston game, because Leif put out the schedule. And I thought the two losses were gonna be Houston and Golden State. Lo and behold, it ended up being the Nets and the Sixers, which like, when you really think about it, holy crap.
Yeah, Sixers and the Magic, yeah.
How crazy was last night? Did anyone feel at any time that the Heat didn't have complete control of that game?
Yes, when they cut it to six.
I was never worried. Like, I was just, like, never worried.
I lost that feeling after game three of the 2011 NBA Finals.
You're numb.
I don't trust any lead. I don't trust any lead.
Houston was just out good teaming them. Like, Houston was a better team, and they were like good teaming them, which is going to happen. I'm surprised that hasn't happened more often to them, especially with the Warriors. Like, you know, and we saw it with the Big Three Heat, and with, you know, even last year with a good team. Like, when you're down to a bad team or an okay team, you're like, wait a second, we're better than you. And then you like out good team them, which is what, because Miami wasn't making totally egregious mistakes. It wasn't that bad.
No, the Heat just have so many annoying hustle guys. Like that sequence where Tyler Johnson had like three offensive rebounds in the same, you know, in the same sequence, that was nuts. And it's just, and you're watching the Rockets players just like I said last pod, there's like certain unspoken rules in basketball where guys are like, okay, listen, let's just chill out. The ball's bouncing. I'm going to grab it. Magruder and TJ care not for that rule. Like they're going kamikaze after every loose ball. And sometimes like, I mean, the Rockets just expect to beat the Heat and it just starts getting annoying after a while. Like I couldn't imagine being a fan of another team playing this Miami Heat team. Like I would hate Rodney Magruder with the passion of a thousand suns.
I want to read to you from Alf's hot take training camp preview. This is what he wrote about Okoro White. This guy doesn't even have a picture on NBA.com. So I'm just going to take this opportunity to warn Dion to leave that trouble in Cleveland, son. Don't come around here with no mess.
That's hardcore basketball analysis.
I mean, that's what you get here.
Yep. He did leave it in Cleveland.
He did. I warned him, and he took heed.
Do you want to know what you said about Rodney Magruder?
Sure.
I was told I could find out.
Reminder, this is the starting small forward for the Miami Heat.
For the 13-game win streak Miami Heat.
Yes, exactly.
I was told I could find out more of this person by checking out the D-League website. I'm not doing that. I saw him play in Summer League. He's okay. But the Heat have more guards than a Bill Parcells dreams. His future is in Sioux Falls.
So wrong.
Read the Derek Williams one. Holy crap.
I was going to read the James Johnson one, but okay. Yeah.
The James Johnson one is not nearly as bad as the Derek Williams
one. I think Lace James Johnson one was pretty bad. If you're going to read Lace James Johnson's kind of bad.
Derek Williams, my pick for this season's breakout player. The first sentence, I see Williams at the starting power forward position and flourishing on offense with Gorin's help, providing to be a capable defender along Winslow and Whiteside. Should he prove to be even a passable three-point threat, big things are in store for the former first-round draft pick. That being said, I can easily see my prediction for James Johnson and Derek Williams flip-flop. No way both of them flourish, so because you see the big three pennants.
Exactly. So I was kind of right. James Johnson and Derek Williams couldn't both be good for the same team in the same year. It's impossible. The rules of the big three pennants would not allow for anything like that.
Let me tell you, the best part about this article is you making jokes and Leif with super serious analysis.
Leif really attacked that.
The Okoro White lays like a developmental project that will end up in Sioux Falls. He's a wing player with length that needs time in the gym. If I had to choose a player you're most likely to never hear about again, it would be Okoro. Oh, God, Leif.
God, and we both predicted Goran wasn't going to last through the trade deadline.
He's almost making it.
I would be shocked if he's traded.
You called Benno a walking insurance policy.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, to be fair to Alf, I also thought Derek Williams was going to be like good this year. I remember saying it on the first pod that I thought he'd like make a decent impact. So, you know, we were just shooting and miss sometimes. But Gianni, you should still shoot if you know what I'm talking about.
Shoot shot 2017.
Yeah. But truthfully, like, I think it just shows you how surprising the season is and how we have to stop doubting the Heat, man. Like, Spo knows what he's doing. We've turned a lot of these D-League guys into actual role players that really make a difference on the court every night. And like, just let it be. That's why tank season is so stupid, because you have no idea what's going to happen in the draft. You have no idea what's going to happen in free agency, but you know that the Heat are going to try to put out a good product, and we won't have Bosch's money on the books next year or other hindrances.
Would you trade TJ for a mid to late first round pick?
Who?
TJ. And next year's draft.
I would trade TJ next year. I think.
No, I'm saying this year for this draft, mid to late first.
I mean, is a draft that deep?
I probably would.
It's good. You'll get something decent.
I think I would just because he worries me about what – like he's a small guy and he throws his body all over the place with reckless abandon. And I think he's going to get hurt, but I like his game. His game is great, and I know you don't like his game, but you're weirdly biased.
No, I think he's good. I like his game. I think he's probably the guy you're most likely to fetch a first-round pick for.
But not most likely.
I mean, of the okay.
You could no. You can
most likely outside of Hassan and Goran to get a first.
You still need his consent.
Oh, you do?
I think so.
Yeah, you can't.
Oh my God, this guy is ruining everything.
You need it until July.
When will he stop?
Just relax, man. You sound ridiculous.
No, he's just so annoying.
I think
he's been bad.
I think if you see him, I think you if you see a move, it's gonna be
trade him to Brooklyn. He wanted to go there.
Well, I think whatever move you see, it will rely heavily on getting rid of McBob. Like, if you see a move that doesn't make sense to
McBob. He's going
to
be here forever. McBob.
No, stop.
Dude, stop. No. Like,
did you not hear my theory?
Zaire is going to be on the Heat, and McBob is still going to be nursing a hamstring.
In a suit.
Just a breaks his quad.
I cannot believe that guy. We have one more year of him guaranteed, right?
It's a joke. Yeah. It's a joke at this point. That's the worst
part. It's a player.
$7 million
opt into it.
Oh, he's gonna keep stealing that damn money.
Do you think that Riley's gonna like mobster threaten him?
If he does not opt in, there's some Godfather deal on the table for him. Like there's absolutely no way he doesn't opt in to steal
men
that last year.
In suits with guns with silencers are gonna show up at his house.
It's just gonna be UD and Keith Askins.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.